Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Negler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. Directing our live blog is the esteemed Brian Caravu, and we're joined, as always, by our very own Alex Talish and Jamie Jors of the Packers Lounge, along with Holly Phelps of The Other 31 and BrentFarve.com. So, Corey, tell us what's on tap tonight.
We have our old friend Adam Kaplan from Fox Sports to help us break down the Eagles playoff game. Wait, let's say that again. The Eagles playoff game.
Playoff game.
We may or may not have Adam Schefter, NFL insider with ESPN, and we definitely will have Mr. Jason J. Wilde, Packers beat writer for ESPN Milwaukee and co-host of that other internet show where they talk about everything but the Packers. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Eric Walden.
Friend of show.
Chad Clifton.
Nice bounce back game, buddy.
Tim Mastay.
Game ball.
And we got the bad. We got Greg Jennings.
Greg, really? Really? All those drops, really?
Donald Driver.
Fumbles are not acceptable.
Aaron Negler.
Because I suck.
And we got the ugly. We got who but Brian Bulaga.
Wow. Wow, Brian Bulaga. Four penalties
Yikes.
In the entire game from the Packers.
Yikes.
All four of which were on young Mr. Bulaga.
Oh, yeah.
That, as we like to say, is unacceptable.
Yeah. What about Packer transplants? Rising from the dead, the ashes, the ashes of 2010.
Oh, my God. Arising into 2011.
Here we go.
Ready for a playoff run.
Look, it's another year, and Cheesehead TV still doesn't have credentials.
That's right. Officially shut down today for the playoff game.
But you know who's not shut down for the playoff game?
Who's that?
That would be Mr. Corey Banky.
Going to be right there behind the Packer bench again?
I'm going to be on the 42. First row. Right behind the Packers.
That works.
Yeah, you know what? Why play around when you don't have to?
Why mess around? Why even bother?
You know.
Don't mess around.
It's got to happen.
There's something new about the studio tonight.
Oh, yeah?
There's something something I haven't noticed before.
Well.
Has that been there the whole time?
No, what is that?
It looks like an article in the Green Bay Press Gazette that was written about Cheesehead TV
and
the blogosphere.
I was reading this earlier, like a month ago. That was so long ago.
It was a while ago.
It's almost nostalgic to look at it now.
I love the fact that they talk about this weekly show that we do right before we don't do it for a month.
Take some weeks off.
Nothing wrong with that. But yes, we were featured in the Green Bay Press Gazette. How about that action?
That was nice.
That's kind of crazy. Along with many of our blogosphere cohorts,
yes,
if you will.
The blogosphere. I love how the G is a G. That's the kind of G you want to see.
That is some genius.
Yeah, and you know what? That you're not going to get a cease and desist because the Green Bay Press Gazette can use what they want.
They can because they started the team, and that's how they roll. So Happy New Year, Corey Banky.
Happy New Year.
How was New Year's Eve?
It was awesome.
For those of you who aren't aware, for those of you who have been living in a cave, Mr. Corey Banky here is in charge of just a worldwide web of things having to do with the New Year's Eve celebration here in New York City.
Yeah, it was fun. We had 152,000 downloads of an iPhone Android app I developed.
Very nice.
Thank you, Packer fans. Thank you, Colleen. I know Colleen watched the webcast.
There you go.
The webcast almost beat the Oscars red carpet ceremony.
Come on now.
Hello.
Come on now.
It was fun. My boss is awesome. Everybody I work for is awesome. I love working with everybody. It's amazing. I sometimes have to kick myself to realize that that's what I do.
But I do have to say, because of this this thing you do, we are running a total ghetto show tonight.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, my G5, almost everything in the studio is being run with cookies and cream. I almost turned on a Toshiba camera, it couldn't happen.
It was unacceptable.
Like, if you're wondering where the third camera is.
There's two cameras. One of them is totally white, and the other one's totally yellow. And nothing's.
There you go.
Everything's running off a laptop, and
we still got video.
That's how we roll.
We have the only.
We'll
video
make
that
it
matters.
Happen for you. Look at this. Okay.
Look at this.
Last game against the Eagles, people. Watch Aaron Rodgers in action. What happens? You'll see little Scott Wells point out the middle linebacker, snap the ball, Rodgers looks to his right, comes back to his left. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a touchdown to Mr. Greg Jennings.
Sorry, I had to get back to the Packers.
Here we go. Here's Rodgers. Watch him again. Watch him as he looks to his right, holds the safety, over the top. Touchdown. We're going to see a whole lot of that on Sunday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Because that's how the Packers do things.
That's how it's done.
That's how it's done. It's how it's going to be done for the next three games. Straight into Dallas. Dallas, Texas,
slow down.
Super Bowl.
Slow down.
Listen to me now and hear me later.
You need to slow down.
Okay. I'm going to say it slowly.
Okay. Here's the thing, okay?
Dallas,
the best thing we got going for us, the best thing we got going for us on the Green Bay Packers. What do you think I'm going to say?
The best thing?
Yeah.
That'd be Tremont Williams.
I would take that out to a circle.
Okay. Okay. Wait.
I would take that out to a zone.
The secondary.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
When is the last time you have all season, okay? If you can say one thing about the Green Bay Packers, okay? Even against New England, the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the only thing that pretty much consistent all the time. Yeah, there's defensive penalties on Charles Woodson. Yeah, he plays whatever. He's a pro. I mean, he's amazing. He's a pro bowler.
Oh my
he's
gosh.
Amazing.
He's coming off like one of his best
Nick
games all
Collins.
Year.
I mean, as much as I hate it when he gets all cocky about like, oh, pro bowl Nick Collins, you know what? There he goes again.
Oh, that's great.
You gotta love it. Tremont Williams, Sam Shields.
Sam Shields.
Man, every time. How many times are you going to go to Sam Shields, dude,
before
he proves you wrong?
Johnny Knox had one. Had no catches against the Packers. Devin Hester had one. Secondary, ladies and gentlemen.
Yikes.
Secondary.
Why was I showing four? Sorry about that.
Why not? Why not?
Yeah.
Because you can do whatever the heck you want.
It's nice.
Because you're back.
It's nice to see the Packers.
Yes, it is. Especially in the playoffs.
It's amazing. And there are a lot of haters on the live blog. I have been on the live blog. One place I've been the last 4 weeks with Jamie and Alex and Brian is the live blog. And
Game Day Blog.
There's a lot of haters because you know what my lot in life is, right?
What's that?
My lot in life is stopping the trolls. Mm-mm. Not you can't stop them completely.
No.
But at least the first quarter can diehards get a little buffer, you know? Mm. Can we get a little buffer from the hate?
Yeah, that's true. I hear that.
It's you know what it's like? It's like cleaning New York in a blizzard.
Okay, someone just pointed out on the live blog after I quoted the numbers from, you know, who had the catches and who didn't and blah, blah, blah. Someone said Davis had 8. Yes, he did. They were forced to go to their number 3 receiver who was stepping in for Earl Bennett
because
he was injured. Forced to go there. If your first two options aren't there, you got to throw it to somebody.
Dude, almost.
I'm sure the game plan was we're going to beat them with Davis. Although I will say this, as I'm making fun of Mike Martz, I will say this. Mike Martz has adjusted his offense in a way that Mike McCarthy has not.
It's true.
I mean, they actually run the ball.
Yeah.
He doesn't stick with it, but he actually runs the ball.
Mike Martz, with some success. Mike Martz was a big fail in that game. I'm sorry. He was a big fail.
Well, he was a big fail because he didn't just...
F-A-I-L.
All he had to do is start keep trying to like pound it out, and they were doing well, but he just has to throw it.
Yeah, he has
Jay Cutler at quarterback.
He can't not throw
it. He's got Dom Capers and Charles Woodson on the other side. Ain't going to happen.
Oh, and Dustin Bricker? No.
Uh-oh.
Not off the shit list. Just kidding.
Oh, no.
He just said that on the live blog, so I had to shout it out. Dustin Bricker was awesome for the webcast, I just have to say.
Very good.
He manned the trenches, and he made the man from Milwaukee made it happen. No, the reason the show was awesome,
yeah,
a lot of the reason.
Yeah.
Actual live 6.5 hours, Dustin Bricker.
There you go.
Got to give it up to him.
Well done, Dustin Bricker. Well done indeed.
You like moving around there. I know you can't stand moving around there. It's too much moving around. Everybody can't follow us.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay, so here we go. Big breaking news today. Big breaking Packer news today. Desmond Bishop in the fold. 4 years, $19 million.
That's exciting.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is what we call a steal. That's called a bargain. That's called, holy cow, did Bishop just want the security heading into some uncertain times?
Well,
collective bargaining.
It kind of makes sense, but at the same time, like, who were we playing where he blows him up?
Oh, Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah, New England.
Yeah, and he stripped the ball, too.
Dude.
Like, that play is ridiculous.
That was, that was awesome. That's like one of my favorite plays of the year.
I want to get a ringtone that is just Corey going, that's awesome.
That was
like,
so good.
Just that. Just that's
awesome.
He like pancaked him. Like yeah, he did. It was just like forward progress stopped.
It was perfect. And what's great about that play, and I think I had it up on the blog a couple days ago. What's great about that play is that it's perfectly executed in tandem with AJ Hawk. Hawk does the dirty work, does the first cross on the cross blitz, takes up the center there, and Bishop is on the delay, so the back doesn't think he's coming and he goes out to block to the right side there. And then Bishop just comes clean. He just nails Brady. It's fantastic. And that's the kind of play you've seen from Bishop and Hawk together, which has brought the Twitterverse to a standstill, or a landslide, if you will, of questions of what are they going to do with all three of these inside linebackers next year? And my stock answer has been...
That's a messed up poll they just put. If you had to go with...
Oh, there we go.
If you had to choose
between A.J. Hawk and Nick Barnett, who should the Packers go with? I just don't...
I went with Nick Barnett, I have to say it.
I
like A.J. Hawk.
I don't think we have to go there yet. Let's get through the playoffs.
Why?
Let's get through a collective bargaining agreement, and then we'll deal with it. I just I don't understand. Like, I understand, but, like, literally, did I just say, I don't understand, I understand?
Yes.
Yes, I did, ladies and gentlemen.
I loved it, too.
Because that's how I work.
It made me excited.
That's how I roll. No, but, like, so Bishop is signed. That's very exciting. They got a deal. That's even more exciting. But then all anyone ever wants to talk about
What
does this mean for Nick Barnett and A.J. Hawk? Let me tell you about this. I think it means more for Cullen Jenkins than it does for either Barnett or Hawk. I think you've got Mike Neal waiting in the wings. You've got a approaching 30 Cullen Jenkins who's now been hurt two of the last 3 years. And I know Barnett's been hurt as well. But you need more linebackers than you do defensive ends
in
a 3-4 scheme.
In a 3-4, yeah.
And if this year has proven anything, is how much depth you need at linebacker.
Yep.
I just think the writing's on the wall for Jenkins to be like, not let go. His contract's, you know, ending and he's going to be a free agent. I think the Packers would welcome him back at a Packer-friendly rate, you know, but I think they'll definitely let him test the market. And if he finds a suitor,
there's going to be a market for him, though.
Oh, they're absolutely.
I'm sorry, but
they're absolutely.
They shouldn't do that. They should just take him, you know.
Yeah, but you can't pay everybody. That's the thing.
I guess.
I mean, and then that's the
other
problem.
You can in an uncapped year.
But that's the problem.
But you can, technically.
The deadline for signing contracts that would count towards the uncapped year was Saturday at 4 p.m. And Brian Karava was all over this afternoon when he was asking, when was the contract signed? And, you know, that obviously we don't know, because if it was signed Saturday, because Tremont Williams' contract extension was reported a week after it was signed. So yeah, if it was signed Saturday before 4 p.m., they could easily be counting a good portion of that money towards 2010 in the uncapped year. And you'd have to think that that's the case, seeing as they've done so much to dump as much money as possible into 2010. You know, with Nick Collins and even Mark Tauscher with his deal, and Chad Clifton, and Tremont Williams.
Chad Clifton?
You know?
Did you say Chad Clifton? I know he was in the good. That was weird.
He had a great game.
Yeah, game.
Well, he's had a bad month. He's had a bad game. December. That's for
man.
Sure.
I mean.
But he had a great game against the Bears.
Yes.
Against Julius Peppers.
We can't afford that.
What, a good game?
Yeah, a good game we can afford.
Okay,
that we can afford Chad Clifton.
Let me tell you this. Chad Clifton is set up to have a redemption game.
There you
go. On Sunday.
I'm ready for that.
Against Trent Cole, because Trent Cole owned him in week one.
I'm not afraid of Philly, Jersey Pack fan. What do I look like? I'm a New Yorker.
I was born
in Green Bay, and I'm a New Yorker. I ain't afraid of Philly. Philly's like a wannabe city anyway. Dude, I'm already on the record in the Daily News from 2008 that I hate New York sports teams.
That's true. But what's a Philly fan going to do?
I ain't scared of Philly. They're all bark and no bite, because I'm a nice fan. If anybody who knows this show, I'm a nice fan. Am I not? Do we not befriend everybody when we go to games?
We were very nice to the fans. To the opposing team, however, we drew a little attention to the fact that we did not like them.
Yeah, of course. Who likes the Jets, dude?
I know. I'm
anybody?
Saying.
Even Jets fans don't know if they like the Jets. They like the Giants better. They're just in denial.
No, that's true. That's a very good point. Very good
dude,
point.
My boss is a huge Jets fan, but you know what?
What's that?
He's like, oh, the Giants aren't in the playoffs. I'm like, the Jets are in the playoffs. Aren't you a Jets fan? It's like they're really Giants fans, but they don't want to admit it.
No, well, you know, this is a Giants town before anything. No matter what happens with the Jets, no matter how cocky their team gets, no matter how boisterous the media is around them, it's a Giants town. You know, the Jets will always be.
I forgot about the J-E-T-S, Jets suck.
Yeah, well, there was that.
I forgot about that.
And the funny thing is, I don't. I just go into their stadium and yell that their team sucks. But I'm a nice fan.
I had makeup on, though. It's hard to hit a guy in clown makeup. I will not have makeup on at this game.
You're not wearing the makeup for the Philly game?
Do you see the playoff beard?
I do see the playoff beard. Okay. And
there's a makeup.
I work in corporate America, all right? And I'm wearing a playoff beard, all right? Come on now. Come on.
Alex, I don't want to hear what you're saying on the live vlog. It's not very nice.
Oh, it's fantastic. Come on. It's fantastic.
The Packers are in the playoffs.
They are in the playoffs.
Let's just talk about that for a second.
They have to do what the heck? You know, what drove me insane about that Bears game, other than the wide receivers pretty much just giving away the entire first half, is, okay, McCarthy comes out, his first play, the very first play that's called in the game, is a 6 to 7 yard gain.
Yeah.
Brandon Jackson up the middle, great blocking, great hole, just a good gain. Even Quinn Johnson had a good block on that play. And I thought, here we go. And then they had like one or two run plays where they didn't do well. They had like 1 yard, 2 yards.
Yeah.
And then McCarthy was like, oh, I'm done. I'm done. Forget it. I'm done. And then James Starks comes in. Two running plays in a row. I think it was the only sequence where there were two running plays called in a row.
Uh-huh.
The entire game. And he gets a first down. And then McCarthy never does it again. Not only does he get away from Starks, he gets away from the power formations and the I formations and all the stuff that was working. Like, that's why it's so weird with Rodgers and McCarthy. It's like a symbiotic relationship. They're both the same way. And you saw it with Rodgers as well. Early in the game, he was taking what the defense gave him. You know, he was throwing it underneath. He was doing the short stuff. It was working. And then, as the game progressed and the pressure mounted, Rodgers started holding the ball.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, I think it was his second sack. He held the ball for five, almost six seconds.
That's his Achilles heel.
It totally is.
We've said it for
the
years.
The pressure mounts, and Rodgers holds the ball. The first Chicago game, he was so brilliant. He took what they gave him all day long.
Yeah.
But on Sunday, he just started to press. He started looking for the big play.
Yep.
Not hitting the check down. He hit it once or twice. Once to Starks and once to Jackson.
I mean, he had some pretty dang good drives.
He had two amazing throws, one to Driver and one to Jennings. Especially that Jennings throw, which Jennings ran the wheel route up the right sideline, set up the goal-to-go situation, which we'll talk about later with Mr. Alex Talish, who did some scintillating research this week after an argument with Bill Johnson on Green and Gold Today.
Wow.
For those of you that missed it.
Green and Gold Today. We're going to have somebody on from Green and Gold Today.
We will indeed.
Today.
Mr. Jason will. Good. Good gracious. No, but it's interesting to me that both McCarthy and Rodgers, you know, they fall into that trap together where McCarthy starts going like three, four, five wide, the majority of the time. And Rodgers starts looking for all the deep stuff and not hitting the check down, it's just holding the ball for 5 to 6 seconds. It's just interesting to me that they're so alike in that respect. It's just an observation. I know everyone hates it when you criticize QB1.
Yeah, I think like Jamie said, I think they outthink themselves.
I do not think that
Mike McCarthy, I think he's actually a pretty good play caller. I know some people like totally knock on his play calling or whatever. I just think he overthinks stuff. You know,
half the time, it's
the simplest thing.
No, exactly.
Just
totally
play
agree.
your game.
Well,
like,
a perfect example.
It can even come down to dinking and dunking.
It has
you know,
to.
It's not going to be a show
now,
if I don't say dinking and dunking.
Well, I love, though, now, is that Rodgers has said dinking and dunking in almost every press conference.
You have
since
to
you
dink
said it
and dunk.
This year. I swear to God he watches the show.
If you just.
Rodgers, you know you got to come on here eventually. Stop hiding.
If you just think about dinking and dunking in your head, because you know what it is. You look for that. If you see the man on man with Greg Jennings or something crazy, right?
Deep.
You're gonna see that before you snap the ball. So you know when your windows are. Your windows
most
are
likely
pretty much. Right. And then you make that first snap. Okay, do I have anything now? Okay, if I don't, what is my best dinking and dunking option?
Here's a perfect example, because people are bringing this up in the live log. I've already seen a couple. Third and one, throw deep. Third and two, 40-yard pass. People, you don't know that that's the call. You don't. You think you know, but you don't. A perfect example.
Exactly. That's true.
On the third and one, where Rodgers went deep to Jennings, and it was an incomplete pass, everybody, Twitter exploded. At McCarthy, I understand, like, saying, Aaron, is that really your best option?
Right. But at the end of the day, your job as a quarterback is you see what you see, and you take advantage of the mistakes that the other team is making. Where are the weaknesses, and where are you going to go?
He saw a one-on-one matchup and took a shot.
Now,
all right,
was it camouflage for him on third and one to bait him to take that pass?
No, maybe. Possibly. But he saw a one-on-one matchup and went with it. All right, I don't have a problem with that. It doesn't make a world of sense when you've been struggling offensively all day, but he's trying to make a play. Okay.
Holly's taking you to the woodshed, bro.
Oh, dear. Flashbacks of MTV's Diary Show.
She's taking you to the woodshed. She's bringing out
what? What? I don't see any woodshed down there. What are you talking about?
She's just saying, like, oh, we're just telling fans they don't know. Like, they just don't know.
I'm just saying you don't know what the call is. On the third and one shot that Rodgers takes, it's the exact same play that Matt Flynn threw to John Kuhn for a touchdown against the Patriots. Right, he's got Kuhn in the flat, probably walks into a first down, but he saw the deep shot and he took it. Now, is the call to Kuhn or is it to Jennings? We don't know. So say all you want about Rodgers, but shut the hell up about McCarthy. You don't know. You don't know what the call is. You can say whatever you want. You don't know what the call is. Play calling and execution, two totally separate things. I'm done.
Holly thinks I'm mad at her now.
Oh, please.
Whatever.
I'm not mad at anybody.
I just didn't see the distinctions and stuff, but I just wanted to get you going, really. That's why I had to
mission accomplished.
I had to create some kind of
just drives me nuts. Although I will say I think my favorite tweet of the entire game during the Bears game was David, known to us all as @MidwestFan.
Mm-hmm.
After Bill Michaels, radio personality, famous for lecturing fans about how they can't question play calling, tweeting, and this is a direct quote, "What a horrible play call."
Wow.
3 or 4 exclamation points.
Wow.
And David retweets it and says, oh, so you can question play calling.
Mm. That's what happens when you have Twitter sometimes.
That's called owned right there, my friends.
Yep. That's pwned, actually. He kind of got pwned. He actually got pwned a little bit. But we all knew this about... Dear. See, those of us... we all knew this about him, dude.
What about Bill Michaels?
Yes.
I like
Bill. We all know he's a gas bag, though.
He's a big old
belittling gas bag.
He talks on the radio.
Yeah, but he belittles people.
Of course he does. That's his job.
I guess.
People talk, people listen to him because he talks about the Packers a lot, and he knows mostly what he's talking about.
Mostly.
When it comes to that, he's a little hypocritical.
Exactly.
That's what I love, is that people, it's like the whole phenomenon of ripping announcers apart on Twitter and blah, 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 blah. Now, the only place this counts is and is applicable is against Matt Millen and Joe Theismann. I'm sorry. They're freaking terrible. But everybody.
No, what about Brian Billick, though? He's my favorite.
He's pretty awful, too. Fine.
Oh, man.
But it's like everybody, like, oh, he mispronounced that word. Oh, did you hear him stutter there? People, come on.
Oh, I don't care about
that. How many times have you called a live event that lasts 3 hours?
Exactly.
Do you have any idea how difficult that is?
I could give a crap about that.
No, exactly. No. Exactly. But that's my point. That's the difference.
Bill Michaels' problem is that he just belittles people in Green Bay, and he looks down on people, and I don't like that. I don't like that in my broadcasters. But that's just my opinion. But I saw him at FanFest, And at FanFest, he was like, oh, he was like the dude in the in the corner who's like taking a flask and like, I hate being here in Green Bay.
All right, we need to take a break because we got to talk to Adam Kaplan on the flip side and hopefully Adam Schefter as well. When we come back, we'll talk to those two gentlemen, Adam Kaplan from Fox Sports, Adam Schefter from ESPN. We include all major media outlets here at Packer Transplants. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live on the line with Adam Kaplan from Fox Sports. You also see him on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, their website there. He does a show for them. Adam, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, no problem. I guess the last time we spoke was week one, and a lot has changed since then for both football teams.
A little bit. I thought that would be some nice symmetry to have you back on, just seeing as, like you said, we talked week one, and things are a little different now. So I got to get this out there right away, just for the listening and viewing audience. I saw earlier that you tweeted, for all the world to see, that you are leaning towards picking Green Bay in this game.
Yep, as I did week one. I've been pretty good at picking for or against the Eagles this year. I think I'm something like 12-4. And, you know, the Eagles right now are very predictable. And I think that's why I picked against them, against the Giants. And the Giants should have won that game. That was one of the biggest jokes I've ever seen. Certainly the biggest one I've ever seen live. The Eagles are a predictable football team. And when teams have you figured out, or they know how to beat you, you're going to be in trouble. And you got to adjust your game plan. The Eagles kind of treated last week as a bye, which was the right move, which I talked about in my power rankings for FoxSports.com this week. That was a smart thing. Rest all your starters, as Andy Reid always does. When the games don't mean anything, he treats it like a preseason game. And the coaches really got after this game plan against Green Bay, actually 2 weeks ago, from what I understand.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. As the resident Philadelphia Eagles expert, what is going on with this team over the course of the last three weeks? I mean, they've played an amazing, 8 or 9 minutes against the Giants, where they came back and scored 21 or 28 points in an amazing amount of time. But other than that, they've looked pretty pedestrian to downright awful.
They have. I mean, let's go back to the Giants game. They scored 28 points in 8 and a quarter, the final 8 and a quarter of the fourth quarter. It was an incredible comeback. Again, never seen anything like it. They were terrible for three quarters. I mean, a little bit defensively, they mounted a couple good big stops late in the third quarter, but overall, the defense has faltered because the pass rush has regressed. That has hurt the secondary. Starting corner Dimitri Patterson has not played well. They lost their starting free safety, Nate Allen, in that Giants game to a patellar tendon injury. So he's done for the season, and you know, we'll see if he's going to be ready for next season. Arnie Sims has regressed, their weak side linebacker they got from Detroit. He lost Stuart Bradley to a dislocated elbow, but his replacement, Jamar Chaney's played well. And they lost Brandon Graham to a torn ACL, their first-round pick. So the Eagles have lost their first two picks, and then they signed Jeff Owens, who they really liked, their seventh-round pick off the practice squad 2 weeks ago. Then he tears his patella. So depth is an issue in a major way for the Eagles right now in defense. They most likely will not have Bradley this week. He won't start. Even if he plays, it's going to be Chaney again, who's their other seventh-round pick. Hmm. And moving to their offense, guys, I think the problem is, as I said earlier, predictability. And the randomness of Michael Vick right now, he's just not seeing the field clearly. His pre-snap stuff is awful. He's not recognizing the blitz. They must have blitzed the Vikings 2 weeks ago easily Antoine Winfield 6 times off the edge. And Vic, most of the time, did not recognize it. And here's the problem. As you guys know, with a West Coast offense, because Green Bay runs one, there are 5 to 6 outlets on every pass play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Vic knows this, and he doesn't get rid of the football. And here's the problem. Because this is a big play offense, it's in his mind to hold on to the ball longer and try to make the big play. And I think, while that was a good thing earlier in the season, he's clearly not getting it right now. And I think overall, we're seeing that the coaches really have to kind of work with Vic right now, and he's got to get back to normal.
Right. I mean, you mentioned the blitzing and the lack of recognition. Do you put any credence into Sal Palantonio's report from earlier this week that Vic will be on somewhat of a watch, so to speak, as far as if he's having trouble with the blitz, that he could be pulled in favor of Kolb?
Yeah, I'm told, by the way, I'm told in response to that scoop. It was actually, I know Sal very well. That was a radio interview. All he was saying was this, that he knows from watching the tape, because I guess he was at NFL Films this week, that, or was maybe it was a week before because it was the Minnesota tape, that basically Vic was talked to by Andy Reid on the sidelines about you doing a better job with the blitz. And I'm not doubting that, but here's what I will tell you. Michael Vic will not be pulled unless, A, he gets hurt, or B, he can't really get out of the way. They will not pull him. This is what I'm told. So it's not happening. You know, Andy Reid, they're working hard with them. You have to understand where Vic was with the Falcons, where he is now. He's a completely different player.
Oh, it's light years.
Yeah.
It's light years.
Yeah, he takes the job seriously. He just, it's basically in a way remedial with him. He had to learn everything over, and he had to learn how to play the quarterback position because it just didn't work with him in Atlanta for whatever reason. So he's come a long way, but he has to understand that teams are going to play him differently. The coaches certainly understand that. He needs to understand that and accept it, and he's got to do a better job.
Well, and we touched on it briefly, switching back to the defensive side of the ball. You saw the Packers struggle against the Bears, a divisional foe who, you know, Lovey's obviously had some great success against the Pack since he's been hired. The week before, against the Giants, obviously Aaron Rodgers putting up career numbers. How do you think, and you mentioned a lot of the guys that are going to be out for the Eagles, or at least limited in the case of Bradley. How do you think that Green Bay matches up offensively with what Philadelphia has been doing lately on defense?
Well, I think they match up very well. Now, the Eagles did a phenomenal job. Defensive coordinators Sean McDermott's come under fire a little bit. Mm. He can only work with the guys that he has. He did a phenomenal job against Rodgers the first game. I mean, they just stymied him. I mean, they really did. I mean, and then of course Finley got hurt in that game. He's not playing, and you know Ryan Grant's on injured reserve. So, but the problem is they still have four really good receivers. And what I think they'll do is I think they'll come out spreading out the Eagles, and that's what you do against the Eagles. No team has given up as many red zone touches as they have, over 30, and it's real simple. You attack the Eagles secondary, and if they protect Rodgers, I think he carves up the Eagles secondary.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, I just think, like you mentioned in week one, these teams were totally different. I think...
Yeah, and Ellis Hobbs, by the way, I should mention, Ellis Hobbs was a starting corner. He will probably not play again. He is he's a severe neck injury, and I'm told this one is much worse than the first one. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's things have changed in that secondary.
Most definitely. Adam, you're such a sport for joining us, and obviously we are absolutely thrilled every time you come on. I don't want to keep you too much longer, but really quickly, if the Packers were to prevail and take on the Atlanta Falcons the next week, how do you see that matchup playing out as far as, you know, the Packers played them really tough and really close the last time?
They should have won that game, by the way. They should have won that game.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I think what has happened with Rodgers is every now and then, and this happened in the Chicago game, the timing is off with him and the receivers. I don't have a real great answer for it. There were plays that should have been made. There were plays that were left on the field against Atlanta. I remember watching that game, being so disappointed after being done watching it the next day that they didn't win that game. They had opportunity after opportunity. But I also have to give the Falcons credit. They did a great job in coverage. They really did. But there were some plays that they should have made. And that's been the story of the Packers this season. It's the reason why they don't have a better record. Sometimes Rodgers looks like the best quarterback in the National Football League. Sometimes he just looks good and not good enough. And some of it's him. And some it's drop passes, wrong routes. And yes, I definitely think this. I've been asked this, and I've talked to people in the league about this. Not having better balance in the running game is a definite problem. It may not be against the Eagles because I think they could handle it without having a running game. But against the better football teams, you've got to be able to run the football in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it'll be very interesting to see how McCarthy attacks that particular problem, to say the least. All right, Adam
Kaplan.
Not much
you can do, though. Yeah, not much you can do, guys. You only got what you got.
Exactly. So you got what you got, so you spread them out because that's what you've got. Adam, you're absolutely fantastic for joining us tonight. Thanks so much for jumping on board. Hopefully we'll talk to you this offseason. I'll definitely see you at the Combine.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Kaplan, Fox Sports, Eagles expert.
Dropping the knowledge.
Dropping the knowledge here at CheeseheadTV.com.
Bums!
Packer transplants for all y'all.
Do it.
That's what he does, because he comes on board.
Andrew Garda's on right now.
Andrew Garda!
Jason Wilde's watching right now.
Jason Wilde! A veritable...
Wow.
What does Wilde say?
It's a cornucopia of It's a cornucopia of beat writers.
Of football wisdom.
Football knowledge.
Following us. It's just such a shame that they're not the ones with a microphone at this point.
Yeah.
That these people have to listen to us.
Don't remind me.
That's the problem.
Mm.
That's the issue here. So yeah, Adam Kaplan. Talking about the Eagles. What do you think, Corey Behnke?
About
you know, I can talk to Adam Kaplan. I talked to Matt Bowen today.
Yeah,
you know,
I can talk
to any NFL insider I choose.
You're almost as cool as Jason Wilde.
But I want to know what Corey Behnke thinks
You're
about
almost
this matchup.
Cool. I think it's, I don't know. I want to know what you think about this whole Woodson
thing. No. Don't turn around. Come on now.
No.
Don't weasel out now.
Okay,
what does Corey Behnke think?
What's
going to happen?
I don't know what's going to happen.
What do you think?
I have a question.
What's in your gut?
My biggest question, okay?
Yeah.
Is what are we going to do about Vic?
Yeah, like, that's a good question.
You know?
That's a good question.
To me, that answers, everything else gets answered once you answer that question. Is it a Clay Matthews spy? Is it a Charles Woodson spy? Is it a Tremont Williams spy?
Well,
like, what is it?
Here's
like,
the thing.
What do we
that's
do?
A very good question.
Because if we can stop Michael Vick, the game is over.
All right.
It's over.
I'll buy that.
What else is there?
Well, here's the thing. Tom Silverstein, in his infinite wisdom, wrote earlier this week that Eric Walden could possibly be a spy on Michael Vick.
Oh, man.
Now, let me tell you this right now.
Wow.
Eric Walden spying Jay Cutler? Great idea.
Wow.
I love it. Eric Walden spying
Michael Vick
is about the biggest recipe for disaster I have ever read in my life.
You're giving me anxiety right now.
I'm just saying. Well, here's the thing. That's Tom Silverstein, who I love. Friend of show. Owns the Packer beat.
Everybody's like, no spy. Okay.
Pontificating about what might happen. No coach has said this. No player has said this. This is Tom saying what he thinks.
Everybody.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Everybody says no spy, okay?
No spy.
Everybody's like, no spy. Okay, but here's the thing. No matter what you want to call it, somebody, one, at least one, of the 11 players on the defense, every play, has got to be thinking about Michael Vick.
Well, of course.
Okay.
That's their
job.
So
that's a spy.
Right.
You might not call it a spy.
It's a one-team spy.
A box in one. A one-team spy. As long as somebody's got the dude covered, I'm good. But you know what? It can't just be one dude. Like, you got to be disciplined. You got to contain. You know? You got to have rookies like B.J. Raji. Oh, my goodness. Stepping up. Wow.
What's the worst thing
What is the best round
what's
ever
the worst,
by the
what's
Packers?
What's the best? You tell me.
What's the best round in the draft ever taken by the Packers?
B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews?
There you go. Mark it zero.
I know you so well.
Mark it zero. Mark it zero.
There's no discussing this, by the way. This is just a fact because Corey said
name another duo taken in any round by the Green Bay Packers
better
than that right there.
I can't.
Because it doesn't exist.
I can't. I can't. Because I can. because
sorry, what's the worst?
The only thing I can rival that with, maybe. Is
it's hard with the duo.
Pat Lee and Brian Brom.
Get out of here with that talk. What were you saying about the worst?
Oh, dear. I said the worst. I don't know. I remember. I think it was the worst thing that could possibly happen is, you know, Eric Walden spying Mike Vick. All right.
No, there's something worse than that, though.
What's that? B.J. Raji spying Mike Vick?
Worse.
That could be worse.
Worse.
Oh, no. What?
Don't.
Jarrett Bush?
There you go.
No, wait.
You just said what's worse.
You are right.
I mean.
Well, let me just tell you this. At least Jarrett Bush has got some speed that might be able to do something. All right, here's my thing.
Brian Brom and Pat Lee. Get out of town with that.
I'm just saying.
What happened to the
camera? The first thing that popped in my head where there was like two dudes in one round. All right, so here we go. Let me ask you this. Let me tell you this. Eric Walden, you know, spying on Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler running to his left, to the sideline. Eric Walden runs him down, tackles him, I think, for a two-yard loss, knocks him out of bounds. That's great and all. But if that's Michael Vick, that's a 20-yard gain. Come on. Come on. There's no way Eric Walden is spying Michael Vick.
No.
Eric, love you, bro.
Dude, Eric Walden.
Love you.
Stepping up.
But you're not spying.
Stepping up.
Big time. 11 tackles, 2 sacks. Come on.
Mm.
Friend of show. Can you say Cheesehead TV bump? I think you can.
You can. But you're right. No, this needs to be a Pro Bowl player covering Michael Vick. This is not okay.
It's
okay.
The whole unit.
Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back.
I'm going.
Every
back.
Single player on the Packers needs to go back.
Yes, sir.
To Lambeau Field.
Oh, don't do it.
You don't have
don't
to go any
it.
Further than Lambeau Field.
Don't do it.
Just go back and watch it, Jarrett Bush. And you know what, Jarrett Bush? While you're there, watch the NFC Championship game and step back.
I love how you just got upset at Jarrett Bush for a game that he wasn't even in.
No, I'm just saying.
He wasn't at the Atlanta Packers game that they lost against Mike Sherman.
I'm saying while
Jarrett Bush was like in grade school or something.
When Jarrett Bush goes back and looks at the Michael Vick game, he then should just go, while he's there in the archives, be like, you know what, let me get the NFC Championship
the
game
Jedi
up on
Temple.
The film roll.
To the Jedi Temple in the archives. I got it. I hear you. I see what you're saying. And you're right. You're right. Every Packer should go back and watch
They
that
really
game.
Should.
Because it was humiliating.
Just go back. It was humiliating.
The first time
it was
ever.
The first time ever the Packers lost at Lambeau Field.
In the postseason. I'll just add that caveat.
That's good, because that's what we do when we're a duo. We're the best Packer blogosphere, the Packer blogosphere duo has to offer. Oh, it's
there
sad.
Are trios that are better. There are single people that are better.
There are no duos.
But the duo, we're like the Hall & Oates of the Packer
the
blogosphere.
Hall & Oates.
We dominate.
Oh, man. Is Jason Woldy on yet?
Oh, I think we're waiting for Adam Schefter to call. I think we're officially, wait, is it? Yes, it's his appointed time to call. We are officially filling until Schefter calls. The Larrivee watch is on, ladies and gentlemen. Adam Schefter has 10 minutes not to Larrivee us. That's all I got to say. So let me ask you this.
Let me ask you this, Batman.
How did you check out Paul Okkaruth's X's and O's today on Cheesehead TV?
Yes.
How hot is that?
That was nice. I liked it.
Now, for those of you wondering what the heck we're talking about, Paul Okkaruth, not the player from 1987 who played for the Packers. Paul Okkaruth is a commenter on Cheesehead TV who obviously knows what the heck he's talking about when it comes to football, has played football, coached football, does not want to reveal his identity, which I find interesting, but he'll be posting some X's and O's as the weeks and months go on here.
Nice.
Cheesehead
That's
TV.
Nice. I like
and
it.
And he started today by showing, it was interesting because a lot of people were talking about Eric Walden being poor against the run, and I was one of them in the first half. I thought he had a very poor first half.
He X and O'd you.
He did indeed. He showed how the Bears took advantage of the Packers nickel personnel, the 2-4-5 that Dom loves
in the
run
game.
In the running game, in
there
a counter
go.
Tray. It was
but
very
you know
educational.
What? Dom understands how good the secondary is, and he thinks he can do it all, and sometimes it can't. But most times
sometimes
it can.
Get a little overconfident.
But most times it can.
Anyway, if you haven't checked it out yet, check out Paul Okkaruth's X's and O's on the site. It is unbelievably fantastic. And I do want to say that Jersey Al from allgreenbaypackers.com, late Jersey Al blog, whatever it was, pointed out today something that I totally agree with.
Wait, what happened? Jersey Al has a new blog?
Yeah, he renamed it.
Where have I been?
Producing a New Year's Eve webcast that's viewed by millions of people all over the world.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Jersey. I feel
so
bad.
Yes, he renamed his blog.
He's awesome.
He's got a bunch of writers on now. He's like trying to take down Cheesehead
TV. Dude,
basically.
No wonder. What is going on?
That's what I'm talking
Jersey
about.
Jersey Al.
We're under attack, dude.
Jersey Al, dude.
That's what I'm talking about. Why do you think I got to bring on Paul Okkaruth? I got to fend off Jersey Al.
Wow.
But anyway, he made a great point in the comment section. He said, I long for these kind of plays. Speaking of the running plays with the trap plays, the pulling guards from the Packers. And I couldn't agree more. The zone blocking scheme? What the heck? Clearly not working. All right? Clearly not having the desired effect, Mike. So I don't get it. At the end of 2008,
there you go.
Mike McCarthy goes to some more angle blocking, pulling the guards a couple times. Like, he actually started to run some man concepts in the blocking. This year, no, things are fine. We'll just keep running the zone blocking scheme into 1, 2, 3-yard games.
Meanwhile, the guy that we brought in to run the good zone blocking scheme has been gone for like 18 months. Like, who even knows the zone blocking team on our team?
Nobody.
Who knows that scheme?
Well, interestingly
no
enough,
no
Jagodzinski.
Get out of here.
Was fired yet again.
Wonder why. Oh, did I say that out loud? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I love it. All right. Here's the thing. yes, the Packers might have a problem if they need to run the ball later in life. But right now, you know, I like the way their offense is set up.
I just don't know what do you want out of life? What more do you want? Okay? Kuhn runs the ball, everybody gets mad at Kuhn. Starks runs the ball, everybody gets mad at Starks. Brandon Jackson runs the ball, everybody gets mad at Dimitri Nance runs the ball.
Well, here's
it's like
the thing.
What do you want? Did you see Dorsey Levens and Edgar Bennett? Were any of them a top number one running back? No.
Oh, look at that.
The answer is no. The
phone's ringing, dude. Cheesehead TV. This is Aaron.
This is Adam Schefter.
Adam Schefter,
Adam
it's Aaron
Schefter.
Nagler. You are live on the line. How are you, buddy?
How are you guys? I don't mean to do this. I didn't expect Tom Cable to get fired literally 2 minutes before I was calling into you.
It's quite all right. We know you're really busy.
So I got to be off in about 5 minutes if that's not a problem. I can call back when I get done with everything. You tell me what you want.
Adam, not a problem whatsoever. We know you're very busy, and you're an absolute legend for even calling.
Yes,
so thanks a lot.
No problem. Happy New Year, guys.
You as well, sir. Well, let's just ask you this. Let's get this right out of the way. You broke the Bishop signing today by the Packers, and you and I had a quick back and forth. I know you can't talk about, you know, whatever it is that you know about what you know, but let me ask you this. Regarding the timing of it, what is your thought as far as if, you know, you obviously are juiced in around the league, you know a lot of the players involved. What do you think this says about the futures of either A.J. Hawk, Nick Barnett, or both?
Well, I think Nick Barnett's salary cap number for next year is over $5 million. And my guess is he's safe. He's been a highly productive player. I think A.J. Hawk is scheduled to count, and you can correct me, next year, close to $11 million, $10.5, $11 million.
That's right.
Am I right?
Yep. Yeah.
I don't think I have to say anything more.
So you think it's that you restructure or else you're just done?
Let's say this. Again, everybody should be able to make as much as they want to make. I would think that A.J. Hawk is not going to be playing for that contract.
Right.
Well, it stands.
And I totally agree with that.
Next season.
Looking at the Packers in general, coming up, especially this week against the Eagles, they got a big playoff game, obviously. What are your thoughts there? What do you see? Do you think that the Eagles continue with their I guess can only be described as mediocre to downright horrible play the last 3 weeks? Or
let me say this. I think if the Packers can find a way to win this game, and it'll be as challenging a game as they play in the postseason, I think that they could get the type of momentum rolling that the 2007 Giants got, because they're that good, they're that talented, they're that formidable. As long as the quarterback is healthy, and he looks like he is and looks like he was when he came back, there's nobody that they can't beat. I mean, they almost won in New England with Matt Flynn. They've won in Philadelphia. They won in New York against the Jets. Yeah. They're a tough team. And sometimes when you play early in the playoffs and you get a big win over a tough opponent, it boosts up your confidence. It gets you rolling. It gets that momentum going. And let's be frank, this is a game about confidence and momentum and health. Now, we know they don't have the health. They've lost a ton of key players this year to injury. But they do, if they can win this game, they will have confidence and they will have momentum and they will be dangerous.
I couldn't agree more, obviously. I just think that, like you said, if they can get over that first hump, you got to think, you know, McCarthy and Rodgers, they haven't won that first playoff game together yet. A lot of pressure there. But if they do, yeah, I totally agree. And it's funny you mentioned the 2007 Giants, because a lot of people were drawing that kind of comparison after the Giants game, but I thought after the Patriots game, like you say, with Matt Flynn, you got to think that boosted their confidence to know that they could play with the best, what's got to be regarded as the best team in the NFL. Really quickly, I know you got to go. I don't want to keep it for too long. Speaking of Matt Flynn, what do you think? That's a quandary kind of for the Packers. He's heading into his last year of his contract. Quarterbacks are always at a premium in the NFL.
Yeah.
What do you think happens there? Do you think they'll entertain offers to move him, or do you think Thompson will sit on him for his final year of his contract?
I don't think he's got a lot of value right now. I mean, you know, he was very impressive in the one game that he played. Very impressive. Don't get me wrong. I sat there and I said, man, he could play. But it was one game. So if you're judging him on one game, and you're any team that needs a quarterback, Arizona, San Francisco, Seattle, Carolina, you pick the team. What are you willing to give up for somebody like that? A sixth-round pick? Seventh-round pick? Right. A conditional pick that could go to a fourth based on play time or performance? And at that point, if you're the Green Bay Packers, isn't it worth having him around?
I totally agree. I posted the exact same thing. So I'm glad we're on board together with that one, Adam. That's what I like to hear. Fantastic. I won't keep you any longer. Like I said, I know you're very busy. You're an absolute legend for calling in amidst breaking news. Thank you so much, and hopefully we'll talk to you either later in the playoffs or sometime next season.
I'm sure I can do it longer, guys. I apologize. Blame the Raiders for that one, okay?
We blame the Raiders for everything. And we know how much you love the Raiders, Adam.
Yeah.
I happen to like them. I like a lot of the people in the organization. They've been very good to me. I appreciate them, respect them. And, they've been fun to cover.
There you go. That's what I like to hear. Adam, thank you so much for coming on. We'll see you at the
Happy
combine.
Happy New Year, guys. Thank you too, buddy.
Thanks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Schefter, ESPN Insider, ESPN.com, ESPN on your television, calling in to Packer Transplants.
Not on your
television. People giving me heck about people giving me heck about long-winded questions. Lord, just help a brother out, all right? I never expected the guy to call, okay? I'm trying to figure out what the hell to say over here.
Oh, man.
I love our live blog.
There's even haters on the live blog.
I know. Of course they do.
I was trying to explain to my
boss. There's nothing right with this show. People are hating on you and I. That's all it is.
I was trying to explain to my bosses for New Year's on how the internet kind of works that there's all – it doesn't matter. It's being the popular girl in high school, okay? Everybody hates you, okay? But everyone wants to have sex with you.
Easy. There you go. And on that note, we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Jason Wilde from ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, ESPNWauwatosa.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live on the line with the two-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, co-host of Green and Gold Today.
Yeah, he is.
You know him from Twitter, from his blog, from his website, from his radio appearances all across the great state of Wisconsin and around the world on the internet. It's Mr. Jason Wilde. How are you tonight, Jason?
The man himself.
That's awfully nice of you to try and pump me up as the Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year after putting me after Adam Schefter calls the show.
What? Everybody's here now.
Yeah, we got like the greatest NFL reporter of his current time, and then Wilde's going to be on after that.
Please. I figured he broke the Bishop news. I had to have him on. That's just how we do it, Jason.
Great. Good for you guys. He's a good guy. He's a really good reporter, and I don't have any problem following him. I'm not sure why somebody thought I'd be jealous, though. I was just enjoying listening to him, and I enjoyed Adam Kaplan, too.
Always a pleasure to have you on,
We're
Jason.
Trying to get the ratings for you here, Jason.
Yeah. You know, we build up the audience to lead up to you.
There you go.
They're the opening acts.
All right. So wait a minute. So there's no video of me here, even though we're on Skype. Is that correct?
Look at him checking himself out.
Wow.
Dude, what a prima donna.
I actually turned it off so there wouldn't be feedback. I heard Corey say something about that. I just wanted to confirm that if I had to like scratch something.
You're not on.
We're totally ghetto tonight.
We're using your animation that I made you.
All those years ago.
Little cartoon Wilde.
Exactly. It's an old picture of you that looks a lot younger.
Oh, dear. So I have to say, fantastic job on Green Gold Today, solo today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, those are never good shows. That's awfully nice of you to say.
So what is now you've had time to digest it. Everybody heard it happen live. But what are your thoughts on Bishop and the 4 years for $19 million, a couple million less than Brandon Chiller signed for?
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty darn good deal for the Packers. I think they capitalized on the fact that there's so much uncertainty when you're talking about not having a collective bargaining agreement in place, not knowing what free agency is going to look like, not knowing when a season is going to start so you can start getting paid your weekly salary. So I think all those things played in the Packers' favor. And, you know, Desmond Bishop wanted a sure thing. I'm certain that had this contract come up, you know, let's say a year from now when there is a collective bargaining agreement and he did know what his free agency status would be and he did know there were going to be games in 2012, I don't think this contract would have cut it. So good for them to get the deal done at a handsome number for them. And you know what? Good for Desmond. I mean, the thing that I really like about him, and he's one of my favorite guys in that locker room, is that I think he really gets it. Like, he's a down-to-earth kind of normal guy who, you know, he was ticked off when he was drafted where he was because he was an all-Pac-10 player. And then he was ticked off when everyone kept saying that he couldn't play every down and be a starter on this team because he made plays but also made too many mistakes. So when he got his opportunity, he seized it. And we spend so much time talking to these guys who all say the same thing. Well, it's just all about opportunities. And if I get an opportunity, I got to make the most of it. Well, a lot of them say it and then don't do it. This guy did it.
And I got to say, you know, the other thing you also hear from a lot of these guys is, you know, it's not about the money. And it's easy to say that, but his signing for what he signed for over the course of four years for $19 million, it's like you said, yes, he took the sure thing, but it reminded me of Yurkovic a couple, you know, a decade ago or over a decade ago when Jacksonville offered him more money and he chose to stay in Green Bay. I kind of believe it with Bishop where he really likes being here. He's an ascending player and he seems to really enjoy not only the team, but like the community and being where he is.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the case though. If we have normal circumstances for free agency, I mean, we've seen some pretty good players who have gone elsewhere because the Packers didn't pony up the money earlier. And whether it was in Ted Thompson's tenure or Ron Wolf's tenure or
right.
Mike Sherman's tenure, I just think that this was a kind of a perfect storm that allowed them to keep a guy that they really like. I think they're going to have to figure out now what they're going to do with A.J. Hawk.
I didn't want to ask it.
And Nick Barnett.
I mean, didn't want to ask it.
To me, I think the guy that is going to end up being the odd man out is going to be Barnett.
Yeah.
You think so?
I do. I think that, you know, what we've seen from Ted Thompson is he doesn't like it when guys get old, and he doesn't like guys that get injured. And I don't blame Nick Barnett for this, but the last 2 years he's ended up on injured reserve, two out of the last 3 years, one right. for the knee and now for the wrist. I still think he's got plenty of productive years left in him, but you know his number is a $5.5 million base salary. Thanks to Kyle Cousineau, who did my research for me while I was doing my radio show.
Let me tell you.
You know, he's got Google. He's the best. And then, you know, you look at Hawk, who obviously they're not going to pay the $10 million guaranteed base salary on the first day of the league year. But that doesn't mean that they can't come up with a deal that pays him that $10 million in some sort of bonus form, and he has low base salaries after that. I mean, they can figure out a way to keep him if they want him. And no one has ever said on the coaching staff, we like A.J. Hawk better than we like Nick Barnett. But kind of reading between the lines, especially from Dom Capers, who has obviously a lot of say in who's on his defense, I think they think really highly of A.J. Hawk, even though there's a significant faction of the Packers fandom that doesn't agree.
Well, and, you know, obviously that goes back to his draft status. But what's interesting to me is to see how, and I think I tweeted at one point during the game that
You tweeted during the game?
I know it's an addiction. But that's the most explosive I've seen Hawk, especially on like any kind of blitz in his time in Green Bay. And I got to think that some of this is maybe But that is the most aggressive I've seen him play since he's been in Green Bay. It was Sunday.
I think he's had a fair number of those this season though.
He's had good games. I totally agree there. But Sunday, he was on a different level.
Well, for a guy that doesn't know what his future holds then, I mean, I enjoyed the rare times that you get an extensive one-on-one with a guy in that locker room. I really enjoy those those infrequent opportunities, and he was fabulous. And I really like him. I think he's a good player. I think he is a victim of being the fifth overall pick. I think if you swapped him with Clay Matthews' draft position, I think that the opinions of both players would be Clay Matthews is exactly what you expect from a fifth overall pick.
Absolutely.
And A.J. Hawk's a great pick for 26.
Yes. I couldn't agree more. What I find interesting is that Nick Barnett decided today to follow me on Twitter.
There you go.
The day that everybody's asking me, well, what's going to happen with Hawk and Barnett?
I thought you call it fair. It doesn't matter.
I do
doesn't
call it
who's
fair.
Doesn't matter who's
following
I just
thought
you.
It was interesting. That's all I got to say.
Should have had him on the show tonight instead of me.
No,
you're
the main event,
Willie. You're the draw. Are you kidding me?
Back it off. You could easily get him to call. You could direct message him now that he follows you. That's huge.
I know. It's monster.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's like being able to direct message Ashlyn Brooke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you stole our idea. Thank you very much. Or Corey's idea, I should say.
It's great. I actually listened. That was the first time I listened to Green and Gold today.
No, that would have been funny she had been on Green and Gold today.
She wasn't.
She was on some other show.
That was the first time I listened. I'm just kidding. I listened to it religiously, actually.
There you go.
I just had to say that. That was a great interview, by the way.
When I saw you were going to have her on, I was like, Corey's been talking about that for a year.
It was a great get.
And you just done broke
his
heart.
You got it. You made it happen. That's why you're the man. That's why you have one of the best offices in Lambeau Field.
I didn't mean to steal your thunder, Corey. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
So, Jason, where do you see playing out on Sunday against the old Philadelphia Eagles there?
I thoroughly enjoyed your discussion about what they're going to do about Michael Vick, because to me, that's the storyline. I mean, there's a bunch of other ones, but figuring out how to defend him. And, you know, those of you who watched the Vikings game obviously saw what he did. I did not see that game.
I did.
And I know, and you then informed me what their approach was, which I appreciated, you and Matt Bowen. You know, I think figuring out how you're going to handle him, and, you know, Spoon's suggestion about Eric Walden was based on our conversation with Dom Capers after the game on Sunday night. So I don't, you know, I know that the Cheesehead TV Nation there did not feel like that sounded like a real positive idea, but I think there's a distinct possibility that he's going to fill that role at least some of the time.
I think that's a disaster waiting to happen. That's just me.
It could be. I mean, I agree that spying Jay Cutler is very different than spying him, but I do think that he's more athletic than maybe we give him credit for. I mean, I have to admit, watching Eric Walden on Sunday and having watched him in the few games that he had seen action, and he is an explosive guy. Now, whether or not that's enough to be effective against Michael Vick, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think Charles Woodson's going to have a major role in handling him.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you look at the Vikings game, you know, and the storyline is Antoine Winfield off the edge. And he was that game, Winfield was. And he made the play of the game where he stripped Vic and brought it back for a touchdown. But, you know, obviously the reports now are, they're planning, you know, they're preparing for the slot blitz. You know, obviously Woodson is going to be the Winfield there. So you got to think that Dom knows this. And we'll bring either Nick Collins or maybe a Sam Shields, somebody with speed off the edge, who, like, you know, just in a different way, like kind of the same idea, but just in a different kind of scheme. I don't know. But
don't you think that the Eagles are figuring that everyone saw that against the Vikings, so they have to figure out a better way to block that up? So then the Packers, the counter move, the chess move between Andy Reid and Dom Capers is for Dom now to think of a different way to accomplish the same thing.
Yes, exactly. It will be interesting. All I know is I don't want to see a whole lot of three-man rush. That's all I know.
Well, I think when it comes to Dom, and, you know, you guys can chime, obviously tell me I'm wrong about this, but from watching him and doing, I don't do the Bob McGinn breakdown after games, but I do watch the tape. It seems to me that if he sees his guys getting home on blitzes and feels like A, they're being productive, and B, they're not costing them in the back end with big plays, he's willing to stick with it.
Absolutely.
But I think like any other defensive coordinator, other than maybe the late great Jim Johnson, if he gets burned a couple times on blitzes, he shies away from it. And that can be Michael Vick taking off and running.
Right.
That can be
or
a long
to Sean Jackson for a bomb, whatever.
Right.
No,
whatever.
I agree with that.
Screen.
But yeah, exactly. Well, that's what you classically do to slow down a blitz. But don't you think, you know, I mean, I understand, you know, you're going to get burned once or twice when you blitz. You know, that's the whole
I agree with
idea.
You. That's the risk you take.
Exactly. So I just that what I loved about what he did against Chicago is that he kept bringing guys. He kept bringing guys from different areas, even though Cutler was hitting some outlets. Cutler, you know, there was that one blitz where poor Tremont Williams was caught between two guys. I mean, it was literally Tremont Williams on two guys.
That's always
you
exciting.
Know? But Dom wasn't deterred. He just kept going. And to me, that's what he has to do against Vic. Like, he can't sit back forever and just let Vic run around and find an open guy. Like, it's just, to me, that's what's got to happen. I mean, it's easy to talk about, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, and the secondary has proven that it can get coverage sacks with three guys. It has. There are moments where we've gotten coverage sacks with three guys.
Yeah, but getting a coverage sack against Brett Favre is a little different than getting a coverage sack against Michael Vick.
The thing I like about Capers, when you're saying, you know, it's one thing to talk about it, it's another thing to do it, is he has such a track record with us of being very honest and forthcoming that when he says that their second half against the Eagles was one of their worst halves of the season and that it was because they prepared for 6 to 8 plays of Vic instead of an entire game of him, I believe him. I think that if he's got to, you know, I mean, this is a guy who, you know, he finished his interviews with us at what, 7 o'clock on Sunday night Central Time? He said he was going to be back in the office at 3. You know, Packers fans should feel good about this 60-year-old man who's been a head coach twice, who's going to be back in the office at 3 o'clock figuring out a way to defend Michael Vick. I don't know if they're going to be able to execute it perfectly, but I think he'll have a good game plan for it.
We're talking to Jason Wilde from ESPNMilwaukee.com. Someone just chided me for not resetting the interview, so I had to do it.
Did they actually ask who the hell are you talking to?
Yeah, it was like, who is this schmo
on my
Packer Transplants broadcast?
Is this the guy that thinks we shouldn't chant the Bears still?
Easy now.
You really think that?
You're just lucky that I didn't. We were going to intro you.
Wait,
my
he really
idea,
thinks that?
Oh, dude, you've been
you
away.
You think we?
Corey's been away for
what
a
happened?
Month. Oh, this is easy. Let's no. I don't know. No. This is not degrading into that. It's not devolving into that discussion.
Okay, I'll
we'll talk about
that
off camera. you were spared though. My idea was to have you come in to the song.
Oh, that's a great song. But that's one of the greatest songs in Packer history.
I decided. Sorry. I
would have
side
had
of caution.
Those Len Pasquarelli moments.
Yeah.
Remember that?
A Todd Pinkston member? A Todd Pinkston moment? Stinkston moment?
Yeah, exactly.
That'd have been great. Nice. That'd have been great. All right, so I was going to ask you this. What did you think about Jeff Blum calling you out on Twitter?
I felt like I had been reasonably contrite about the fact that I was wrong about Harris and that I thought that I had said that on a number of platforms. We had that discussion then in the locker room, and he was wishing that I had written something about it, which, as I told him, I didn't write my opinion on Al Harris. I wrote quotes from Al Harris because I talked to him and I got the story first. I did. I would say this. When I look at the way things played out there and what we were being told from the podium and what we were being told by assistant coaches, I would have appreciated someone in some sort of position of authority taking us aside and saying, look, we're not going to bury this guy publicly, but he can't play anymore. And if you want to write that, sourcing it without quoting anyone, you would be correct in writing it. And that would have been helpful, as opposed to after he gets cut, 3 days later, I get a chance to talk to Greg Jennings one-on-one, and Greg Jennings was nice enough to fill me in on what Al Harris looked like in practice. Because if Mike McCarthy's up there telling us that he's taking reps with the ones mm-hmm. and that he looks good and he's making progress, when in reality that's not the truth, what am I supposed to think when I'm not in there for 11 on 11? So, you know, when Greg Jennings said that he was at a point where if he's a wide receiver, he's going to say, put 31 on me, That told me all I needed to know. That would have been useful information in forming my opinion.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's called the truth.
Wow.
Right there.
That was.
Thank you, Jason.
I take that back to my own job, and I'm like, yeah, you know, if you want to tell the story you want to tell, you got to tell the story.
You got to let
the guys who get the information out have the know.
Well, Jason, you know how I feel about it. I mean, it's all about information. So I just wanted you allow you a public forum to express.
I don't know if I need it. You know, I don't know if I needed
say your piece, opinion, so to speak. No, you didn't. You probably didn't. But yeah, I wanted to give you the chance. You could have said no comment, but you're not Drew Rosenhaus, so it's all right.
Next question.
Now, there you go. I love it. All right. So, Bill Johnson and Alex Talish. What the hell, dude? This we got a major war going on between our factions here. Like,
well, I was a little confused by the whole flat brimmed hat thing.
What?
I guess I don't know Alex very well.
I guess not. I don't know Alex very well. I'm lost on that reference.
Yeah, I didn't know what.
No one's listening anymore anyway, so you can just say whatever you want.
I understand. although I see that the chat numbers keep going up on my screen here, so people seem to be.
You're a hit, dude. That's what I keep telling you.
That's what we teased all the way to you. You're the slugger. You knock it out.
You knock it out of the park.
There you go.
That's how we do it.
I don't know. I will say this. I really enjoyed doing the show with Bill as long as I can keep him from really getting after our listeners. I have certainly had a few moments where I've chided our folks. I don't appreciate it when people tell us what we're allowed to talk about and what we're not.
We know.
I always appreciate, like, a day like today was great. I mean, today was the coolest thing about today was I came up with a bad idea, which was to play skeptic or believer, but ask the listeners and Twitterverse about it. And then a few listeners and tweeters realized, hey, stupid, why don't we ask you the questions instead? That's my idea of the current realm of radio and blogging and tweeting and everything. That worked perfectly.
Absolutely.
I think we should do that all the time. So that was great. I think my frustration is that when we do get off topic, if you have something you wish we were talking about, I just want people to call or tweet
it.
And it's not we can't be reached. Bill gets a little bit fired up about certain topics. He's a little bit hard to calm down when somebody gets his dander up, and I think Alex managed to do that at some point this week.
He's good at that. He's good at that, actually.
He's good at that. He does that to me.
That's why we love him in the Packers Lounge.
Well. Exactly. All right, so you've mentioned Michael Vick being the key point, stopping Michael Vick being the key point on Sunday. What do you think, and this is some where you and I have kind of been on the same track here in regards to James Starks. As far as everyone's expectations needing to be tempered before we actually see him on the field, then he's on the field, plays well, then he's off the field, apparently not practicing well, and we just lost Jason. Oh. Because that's how we go. Hi, Jason. I know you're probably watching at home. I know you said you turned it off, so we'll call you back. maybe we'll get Jason back? Possibly. We're calling him back, because this is live, people. F it, we'll do it live, as the great Bill O'Reilly once said.
Oh, I didn't even... What happened?
As the great Papa Bear. I don't know. All of a sudden, the screen just went... I don't know. I think we just lost the entire world. In fact, I'm pretty sure at this point, I'm just talking to myself.
Pretty much.
I'm pretty sure no one's listening. And yes, I will be cutting this part out what do you call it? In the podcast.
Here we go. Hold on.
You calling him back? There you go.
Why not? Shouldn't we?
Yeah, of course. We got 3 minutes to fill. Still need some Wildy in our lives. Although, I found it interesting that his wife could hear him talking and yelling at us from downstairs. It's that moment I love. When the phone is ringing.
When the phone is ringing.
And will they answer?
Maybe he lost internet.
That's my point. Like, maybe it was on his end. Maybe it wasn't the Millennium Falcon for a change.
No, I don't think it was. I think he lost internet.
It says he's on, but... There you go, Jason Wilde.
ESPN Milwaukee, ESPNMadison.com.
Yeah, Jeff Bloom cut the cord. Oh, here we go.
Oh, there he is. Calling us back. Hello, you're on She Said TV.
Oh, I love that show. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, nice.
Oh, dear.
It was us.
About to say you disagreed with me, and then suddenly the line went dead, or what was that?
big fan of the show. I'll hang up and listen to your answer. No, I was going to say, you and I were on the same track. We were agreeing about James Starks, and then he played well, and then he wasn't active, and then blah, blah, blah. And then he played, and I just got to say, and I just wonder if you have viewed and have come to the same conclusion that I have, he's the best runner on the team.
I do agree with that, without question.
And the question for me is it because McCarthy doesn't trust him yet in a game situation? Is it because, hello, we're trying, it's essentially the last 2 weeks we've been in playoff situations, we're going to a playoff game this weekend, we can't trust him in case Aaron has to check to a pass play, God forbid, is he going to pick up the protections, yada, yada, yada.
I think he's worried that he's going to get his quarterback hurt. And I think even though he didn't fumble the ball against San Francisco, I think he's worried that his ball security is not going to be good enough. And he can't get up there and say that at the podium. So he was as harsh as he could be without saying that about his practice habits and about his special teams work. Now, I have it's been interesting to see people react to the James Starks legend and my occasional snarky comments about it.
Because you and me both, my friend. Yeah.
Because I've been saying since they drafted him that he could be a sleeper and he's a talented guy and that he would have been a second or third round pick if he'd have had a senior season where he rushed for more than he ran for as a junior. But this idea that he was going to come in and be, you know, the second coming, I struggled with, especially when he hadn't played football since, as I pointed out many times, January 3rd of 2000. In the International Bowl.
Yeah, Mike really appreciated that.
He did. He appreciates a lot of my questions, I think. the 4th and 26 one went over well, too.
Oh, that was a real barn burner.
Well, Jason.
But, I like Starks. I think he's talented, and I like the fact, for example, that when he gets tackled, he falls forward.
Yes.
He gains yards.
He's very Amon Green in that aspect.
Yeah, and so I have never been anti-James Starks. I have been anti-Starks hype, much like, and this is going to sound odd, but I've never been entirely anti-Brett Favre. I've been anti-Brett Favre hype and anti-Brett Favre myth.
Mm-hmm.
Amen
and
to
so
that.
Amen.
James Starks may very well turn out to be a very good running back, but I thought it was interesting that the Press Gazette, which I hope Mike McCarthy takes issue with the Press Gazette doing a poll and story on, as I read on Cheesehead TV, on your most painful playoff memories. And all I wanted to do was a two-paragraph note of, yeah, I watched that game in my office in New Orleans and couldn't believe that what a tough way to lose. I felt really bad for those guys. That's all the quote I was looking for. Mm-hmm. But I think James Starks could very well be a very good running back. But I think it's premature that, 49% of the people who responded to a poll on the Press Gazette's website thought he was going to be their starter next year.
Should be their starter.
Brandon Jackson hate.
No, wait. Not only should be their starter. When that poll was put up, it was he should be their starter right now, and that was before he had had a single NFL carry.
Yeah, he had.
So
that's all. That's my issue.
Yeah, and we agree there. So I got to find something that we disagree.
My issue is the Brandon Jackson hate. I hate it. It makes me mad.
You hate the hate.
He hates the hate. Don't hate the
player. That's the only way. That's the only way to negate it.
So Jason, I don't know if you heard the breaking, not so breaking news, but we were denied credentials for the game this Sunday by your friend Jeff Blum. So we won't be seeing. But Corey will be.
But I will be at the game. I'll be in the section 202, the first row, right behind the Packers on the 42. So
will your face be painted, and will an AP photographer catch you in action?
No, my face will not be painted.
No face paint. Can you believe this?
When the temperature
what kind
drops,
of fan is this?
I thought you were a real fan.
Exactly.
I have my playoff beard on. Damn it.
As do I. Wildy is clean shaven, unfortunately.
You can't put makeup on a playoff beard. Come on.
No, it's true.
No, no, you can't. You can't put lipstick on a pig.
Oh, it's so apropos.
And I'm very sorry that your wife is listening to you shout and rant and rave.
Why is your wife?
The beauty of Twitter. How about that, by the way?
Great.
Tweeting that she can hear me two floors up.
That's fantastic. Obviously, that's how riled up we get you. You know, when we're talking Packers, that's how passionate you are about the team you cover.
Am I that loud?
No, no. She's just giving you hell.
I have a voice modulation problem.
There you go.
All right, we're running over time. Jason, final thoughts heading into Sunday, heading into this big matchup with the Eagles. Predictions. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I know that you guys were not real fond of Peter King's prediction just because it's kind of a whammy to have put on your favorite team. I can tell you that Paula wasn't real fond of my opinion at dinner tonight when I expressed that I think this team is going to be in the NFC Championship game. I don't know if they're going to go to Chicago and win necessarily, or go to New Orleans and win, but I think this team is going to be playing after beating the Eagles and then beating Atlanta in Atlanta. I don't say that with any sort of ulterior motive, clearly, because one-year birthday parties take precedent in my mind. But I would say that this team, you know, if they play the way they're capable of, and I know that's a kind of a lame cliche.
No, but it's a huge if and a very true if.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're very much capable of doing that. And the thing about the NFC, when I look at it, is there's five teams that are capable of doing what I just said, and all five teams are capable of laying an egg in their first playoff game, whenever it is, and losing. So congratulations to Roger Goodell for having the parity that he wants. He's got it even in his playoffs now. And I think that's exciting for fans of those five teams in the NFC because they all feel like they have a chance, and I think they should.
Yeah, well, then that's what Paul Tagliabue hath wrought.
Yes.
So here we are. Jason, you're an absolute legend for joining us. Thank
Jason
you so much.
Jason Wilde. Bringing it in 2011 for Cheesehead TV.
Hopefully we'll have much more of him going forward in 2011, unless, of course, the NFL shuts down. And he's forced to cover the Bucks or the Brewers or some such
that
nonsense.
That would be a sad day. That would really be a sad
travesty.
Day. I'm going to cry.
Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. And Corey, great work with Dick Clark this year.
Oh, that's just cold.
That's cold.
That's just cold.
Later, Jason.
Jason, have a good night, buddy.
See ya.
Jason Wilde, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison, ESPNWisconsin.com. However you can find him. Green and Gold Today, co-host.
One day, ESPNWisconsin.com.
If
we've been...
They get around to
we
it.
We get teased about it all the time.
Well, when I met with ESPN, well,
the
said
first
it would be
time,
2 years.
Wow,
so.
The first time we interviewed Jason Wilde, though, what did he say?
He said it'd be a couple years.
Oh, he did? I thought he said it was going to be soon.
He said
soon
it was
to
coming.
Be.
He said it was on its way.
Gotcha.
Right, but now it's like a couple years. And the ESPN people are like, yeah, no. No one lives in Wisconsin. So we're like, I got to understand that. So what are you going to do?
There's so nothing you can
Corey
do.
Corey Banky, Packer Transplants, is back on track.
Wait, we got this going on.
Uh-oh.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
This week in the Packer Blogosphere, that venerable series makes its return here at Packer Transplants. This week, we want to talk about Bill Johnson.
We talked about it a little bit.
V. Alex Talish.
Alex Talish.
In the left corner, worrying about the biggest video with the trunks. It's come Bill Johnson.
Sometimes all you need in life is Alex Talish. Oh, there you go.
Play See? It again, dog. Play it again.
Why
not for a month. Let's we need to hear it again.
Let's
this week, in the Packer Blogosphere.
In the right corner, we have Alex Talish swing with the Alex Talish.
And there you go.
So I don't know. Here was Alex's beef with Bill Johnson was that, like, you know, the Packers are horrible in goal line situations. Everybody's like piling on. So Alex decided to go to NFL.com and look at some stats. And he thought, you know, I'm going to bury this guy. And he was like, whoa, wait a second. Bill's kind of right. But I have to say, Alex, you went about it the right way. You went, you looked, you studied, you got it done. And then you posted about it, and you told the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Kalish is a legend.
There you go.
Is the man, the myth, and the legend.
There you go.
And you all need to follow him on Twitter and read his stuff on the Packers Lounge.
So what we're saying here is the Packers need to win.
Let's and then they're this. In the Super Bowl, apparently, according to Adam Kaplan and Jason Wilde. Holy cow.
Jason Wilde said NFC Championship, but I was like, whoa, slow down. I didn't say slow down.
Slow down.
But I felt it. Let's just do this. Okay, let's do the cliches, right?
Yes, please.
One game at a time.
All right, let me just say this.
Okay.
Speaking of Alex Talish, as I often like to do, I'm going to point out something I wrote a while ago. Namely, in August, that I picked the Packers to go to the NFC Championship game. Mm. I picked them to lose that game.
Mm. Don't talk like
and
that.
And I picked them to win the Super Bowl next year. I will be very happy to be proven incorrect.
So will I. But I'm always happy when you're proven incorrect.
Because it's all the time.
It's just fun.
But
it makes me
that's
happy.
My hunch. That's my pick. That they go to the NFC Championship game, but they can't get over the hump. And then next year, all the injured guys come back, and they have all the guys who stepped up this year, and they have a draft class, and it's do or die, and they do, and they don't die. But this year, I think they beat the Eagles, and then we have to deal with the Falcons game, where you and I are both supposed to be at my wife's 40th birthday dinner while they're playing. We need to figure that out.
Let's just beat the Eagles. And on that note, Packer fans, gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Thanks, Jason Wilde. Thanks, Adam Kaplan. Thank you,
Adam Schefter
from ESPN. Are you kidding me? Calling Cheesehead
and
TV.
And thanks, as always, to Brian Caravu, Alex Talish, Holly Phelps, Jamie Jorres, everybody, the rest of the crew, everyone out there. You guys really help make this a unique fan experience. Can't be found anywhere else on the internet. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week here at Packer Transplant.